Let's read God's word together. I want to read from the book of Philippians, chapter 1 and verse 3 to 8. I thank my God in all remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. Well, today is a special day for me to be here. It's special for it is a reminder to me that I come from a place where we speak very perfect English. And you all speak rather funny. And just to toss it in, you drive on the wrong side of the road and you do not know how to make tea. You put ice in tea, we put boiling water in tea. But I'm reminded, and it is a special day, because we are one people sharing and partnering in one gospel. We share with you a passion to see the gospel revive our nation as you do yours, and then the nations of the whole world. Amen? And as I reflect on this partnership that we in New Zealand have with you here at Briarwood, this partnership in the gospel, I believe it is very closely mirrored in this text that I have just read with you. It's marked first by a shared love and concern that you have for us, and I hope we have for you. As he remains in prison, the Apostle Paul is thrilled to reflect on this gospel relationship and partnership he has with the Philippian church. He says, I thank my God with every remembrance of you. He says, I hold you in my heart. And as his thoughts, these thoughts of affection run through his mind, you sense that his emotions, his feelings of love and his passion for them, they're very real, very genuine and very deep. But they're not moved by what I might call human sentiment alone, but by the deep love of Christ in him and in them. Note what he says, I yearn for you with all the affection of Christ Jesus. And he affirms or confirms this affection for them by saying, he prays for them. He says, he is in prayer, or every prayer that he prays, he remembers them. He thanks God for them. Wow, I know the Apostle Paul would have prayed a lot. That would have been a lot of prayer, right? But there is more. This partnership that he refers to is practical. He says, we are all the Philippian people, are partakers with me of grace. This is like saying, I know you people are completely at one with me in person and in my mission. You regard my gospel work, you regard my mission as your mission, as your work. You regard my sufferings, as he is in prison, you regard my hardships as yours. And so he acknowledges and praises them for having served him and supported him in a very personal way. Even while he is in prison, he says, "You did not disregard my practical needs." Now, writers say that for Paul to be in prison would have been a great shame to his name, and therefore to be associated with him would also have been a shame. But to the Philippian people, it was not a shame. To them, partnering with Paul was not just a casual commitment, but it was a total commitment, not a short-term commitment, but a long-term commitment. He says, verse 5, from the first day until now. This church did not say to Paul, "Paul, yep, we remember you, we'll pray for you." And then they pray for Paul, and then they move on to the next matter before them. No, you sense these people are in gospel mission with Paul for the long haul. Well, as a new and fledgling church in New Zealand, I believe we have experienced this same support and love from you. And I can say to you that in turn we have prayed for you. For 15 or 16 years, your missions team, first led by Pastor Cheely and now Pastor Brian, and your leadership and you as a people have been a faithful and committed friend to us. Even though we were small at the beginning, as was referred to in the DVD, and in the beginning, I have to tell you, we had no idea what we were doing, setting up a denomination and thinking and talking about church planting. And yet you, your leaders, were not ashamed to join with us. They did not say, "Well, these guys, they don't have a clue what they're doing. And they don't look like they're going to accomplish much with the resources that we give them." No. And I can remember Pastor Cheely especially sitting in some of our meetings, and he could have gone like this: "I don't know about these guys." But he didn't. He would just sit there, listen, observe. And when you got out of the meeting, he would just come up, put his hand on you and say a word. "This is how you do it." And I can tell you that this partnership has encouraged us and given us the confidence to proclaim the gospel of the scriptures, God's gospel, in ways that are beyond and in places that are beyond, I would have thought, boring, reformed, conservative people like us would have ever done. And I can tell you that there are others here today from places who are ministering in places all around the world that will tell you the same story, that you have cared for and you have supported them with love, prayer, and practically. Secondly, our partnership is built on a trust and a hope in a great, great gospel. While we read of Paul's deep appreciation for the Philippian people and their care for him personally and of his love for them, what I think truly thrills him is their shared commitment to the mission of the gospel. Well, what is it about this gospel that thrills Paul and that he is thrilled that they, the Philippian people, are partnering with him in? Well, verse 6 tells it all. Well-known verse. He says this, "And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." The gospel that missionary Paul and the Philippian church share and partner in is a gospel that is all from God and all of God. It is a gospel that is full of God's grace, free and sufficient and affirmed and confirmed on the cross. It is a grace that comes and is proclaimed in the person of Jesus Christ, who conquers and atones for sin, even the worst sinner. You see, salvation, that brings true faith. We're a believer today and we have true faith. Salvation that sustains spiritual life and that draws us into service. It is all of grace. It is all of God. If we're a Christian today, it is because we have been found of God and He has brought us to faith. There is nothing in me that commends me to God, that God would look at me and say, well, he's an okay guy, I'll pick him. See, in our sin, in our unholiness, in our rebellion, we can never move toward God. He must come to us. And there are many, many scriptures that remind us of this truth, are there not? And we have, of course, the words that I want to share, the words well known, John 3:16, God so loved the world that what? He gave. We so often focus on the latter part of that text, don't we, the response. But the response only comes at God's giving. It's God who gives of himself in Christ at the cross for those whom he calls, you and I, and many, many more. And I can tell you this morning, I'm glad to tell you, I'm thrilled to tell you that this gospel, this grace, God is working in our country. And even in my little church that I planted about 5 years ago, started with 7 people, I'm standing back and watching now. God is saving people. We've had 2 men in particular who God has brought. One was a humanist, an atheist. He says to me, I used to follow the teachings and writings avidly of Richard Dawkins. But he said, God's got a hold of me now through the gospel. And to hear his testimony to me was amazing. Another man, if you might say, from the other side of life, a man who works as a prison officer, a tough job. And this guy is a tough guy. Been into all kinds of things in his life. His family would despair of him. God's got a hold of him. And God has saved him. And his testimony is all God, grace, Jesus, forgiveness. Well, the apostle is not finished. He says, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. This is a wonderful, wonderful encouragement. When God saves people, when he saves those whom he calls, he will not lose them. The gospel we share, the gospel that we partner in, is able to save, and that same gospel preserves our faith. God will never let anyone of those he calls, any of those he saves, fail to experience the end of his great gospel work in them. And so he says, till the day of Jesus Christ, in other words, until the day the Lord might return, and all the time in between, even if that were to transpire, you will not lose your faith when it is of God. Rest assured, what God begins in us, what he begins in you, he will finish. What he has started in this life, he will complete on the day as he brings in his glorious reign. And that's got to be such a profound comfort in so many ways, does it not? As we struggle with life, I know you might be struggling today as you come to worship with something, as we battle with ourselves, with our own weaknesses, as we swim against the tides of culture and of the opposition that may come our way. It is a great comfort to know that as God has saved us, he will hold us and he will keep us safe in that salvation. It's got to be a great encouragement to missionaries who work, you know, sometimes in difficult circumstances, to wonder maybe those who respond to the faith, will they stay in that faith? When it's of God, they will. He will keep them there, will he not? They will be safe. Amen. And so it is Paul's passion that God must go into all the world, that the gospel, rather, must go into all the world so that all might hear this gospel. Well, you being Briarwood, you need some takeaways, don't you? It wouldn't be right for me to leave you here. It's a shout out for Harry. And so here's two brief ones, summarized by one main one, if you like. And it's this. When you think about mission today, maybe for the very first time, whether it is in prayer, whether it is going to the mission field to help, or whether it is in your giving, as you might do this morning, I want you to know that by the grace of God, you will make a difference in these two ways. First, as you partner in this gospel, not just with us in New Zealand, but with all who proclaim the gospel, those who do that proclaiming, those missionaries, will be greatly, greatly blessed and encouraged. When you pray, or when you go, or when you give, at a very personal level, you bring strength, you build up real people who are proclaiming that great gospel. From a personal or human perspective, it is so important for those who go out into the world as God's missionaries to know that his church is with them. You know, as people go out as missionaries, you know that it can be a struggle. It can be a struggle of heart. Others need to go into places of deprivation, either of material things or of freedom. They must put up with everyday inconveniences or just from isolation from loved ones. Just being lonely is a part, I believe, of being a missionary. It's tough. And so to know that the church is with them means so much to them, that they have God's people with them. And I remember being challenged first to go church planting. And it happened to be about a time that Pastor Cheely and I think Pastor Dave Matthews, and I don't know if anyone else was with them, they called me up one morning early for me is 8:30 in the morning, and they said, "Andrew, we're coming around to see you. We need to see you." So they came around to visit me, and they sat on a couch in my lounge, and they said, "We think you should go church planting." I said, "No, I don't think so." And so we had this little, you know, to and fro for a while on the couch. And then Pastor Cheely, he said this to me. He said, "Andrew, if you go church planting, I'll guarantee you that back 8,000 miles away, there will be 100 people praying for you every week." And then he said, "I'll guarantee you your financial support for the next 3 years." Now, I don't know if he had the power to do that, but that's what he did. And so my wife and I looked at each other and we thought, well, we got to do it. You see, how encouraging it is to know that God's people are one in partnership and together. And secondly, when you partner in the gospel will be heard in more places around the world. As a member of this church today, I want you to ask yourself, is this gospel of God and Christ truly the news humanity today needs to hear? Is it the grace and power from God to revive the nations? Then will you consider again, or maybe for the very first time, in the ways that are shown on that card that you have with you, joining with this church and with us in New Zealand and with all the 300 plus missionaries that you have out there in supporting, again, this great gospel mission to the world. And will you support in such a way that another 100 missionaries can be sent out around the world to proclaim the great gospel of God? God's word reminds us, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. As Kevin DeYoung reminded us on Tuesday night, we may not see it, but God is still, through his power and grace, saving people all around the world. And I'm reminded of this even in my rather small country city back home. And you know, I'm always amazed people find where I live. It is regarded in my country as the most boring city, and no one would ever want to come there. But last week I'm sitting in a home group or a growth group, and there are people from China, there are people from Thailand, there are people from Singapore, there are people from Japan, there are people from Malaysia, people from West Papua, you probably don't know where that is, people from Canada, people from the USA, and yes, there's a few Kiwis there as well. You see, the invitation, it reminds me that the invitation, God's invitation with his gospel remains. The power of the cross is still mighty to save and still able to bring for God, verse 11, a fruit of righteousness. Let me leave you with these words from a contemporary theologian. He says this, your life is much bigger than a good job, an understanding spouse, and non-delinquent kids. It is bigger than beautiful gardens, nice vacations, and fashionable clothes. In reality, you are part of something immense, something that began before you were born and will continue after you die. God is rescuing fallen humanity, transporting them into his kingdom, and progressively shaping them into his likeness, and he wants you all to be part of it. Amen. Sovereign God, our Lord, would you, in mercy, revive the nations with your gospel and use us as servants, as missionaries, as laborers to bring your gospel to the nations. Raise up your people to go and to supply every need so that this great, glorious work may be done for your glory and for the great saving good of multitudes. Amen.